Hi, this is Jeff Struss, and you're listening to the Charisma News Podcast, One Story Well Told. Today, we're happy to have Nick Hall with us. Nick is the founder and president of Pulse and a leading international evangelist. He holds a position on the Board of Directors Executive Committee of the National Association of Evangelicals. He is the author of Reset, Jesus Changes Everything, and he is in his final moments of preparing for a large global broadcast that's going to be happening tomorrow on Good Friday, April 2nd at 7 p.m. worldwide. That story in just a moment.
Virginia teachers, take the lead in education with up to 64% off your graduate degree at Liberty University. This year has forced you to innovate, adapt, overcome, and you've not only risen to the challenge, you've crushed it. Now help education emerge from this crisis stronger than ever with your MAT or MED degree. Our transfer-friendly degree programs are 100% online and start as low as $282 per credit hour. It's our thanks for all you do for our future. To learn more, text TEACHER to 49595. That's TEACHER to 49595.
Nick Hall will be hosting the second annual Good Friday worldwide broadcast with Francis Chan, Tasha Cobbs-Leonard, Carrie Job, and more. We have Nick on the broadcast today to tell us all about it. Nick, we're glad to have you on.
Hey, I am so excited. I'm so excited to be here.
Well, wonderful. We so appreciate you taking the time to be on the broadcast and to tell our listeners about everything that you're doing. Again, last year, your broadcast reached over 1 million homes. And how do you think the pandemic contributed to people's interest in topics of faith and really just searching for God?
Yeah, you know, I just think people are open now at a way that is unprecedented. And, you know, people are asking questions, right? I mean, I think as an evangelist and as a Christian, you know, you just realize that there's these things that people place their hope in, and those things ultimately stand in the way of people being open to the gospel. And in the last year, every one of those things has been shaken. When you think about health, finances, political, security, you know, racial identity. I mean, just everything has been shaken except for God. And he's on the throne. He's not intimidated. And the story of Good Friday and Easter Sunday has never been more relevant, that God suffers with and for us, enters into the pain, and offers us eternal hope.
Incredible. And you're totally right. I think everything that happened this past year and even what we're still currently going through is softening people's hearts. I think we've all been changed by the pandemic and this experience. Nick, being that you're a year from your last event, how did God speak to you? What were some experiences that you went through that has been shaping your approach to ministry for this year?
Yeah, well, end of 2019, my life was rocked when my first best friend, my big sister, you know, the person I shared a bunk bed with and really always believed in me, she was diagnosed with terminal cancer. And in February of 2020, she died. And so right before the pandemic even hit, we had just finished this 6-month really horrible experience of watching a loved one just suffer through that, waste away. And, you know, we celebrated her 40th birthday in hospice. I mean, it was just a heart-wrenching time. And yet in the midst of that, I think God really was awakening in me once again the urgency and the importance of fixing our eyes on heaven and fixing our eyes on the kingdom that is coming. And, you know, and just giving me an urgency for the gospel, just realizing, you know, when you think about death and when you realize the brevity of life, you realize how many foolish things that you worry about and how many just trivial things. I mean, whether it's social media accounts or bank accounts or status at work or how does this person think about me? And man, just your priorities really shift when you realize that, man, the only thing that's going to matter in the end is whether people know Jesus. And so I would just say this last year has really exposed in me a lot of things I needed to repent of.
Wow.
And then really just given me an urgency to say, man, God, am I living with the gospel as my primary heartbeat hope? And do I believe that heaven is better? Am I living like heaven is better? Am I talking to people like heaven is better? And I just think, you know, man, that changes everything when you start to have that shift of focus and perspective. And that's really out of that pain is how this Good Friday broadcast even came to be. I'm convinced if my sister hadn't died, that this broadcast wouldn't have happened. If the pandemic hadn't have happened, the global church wouldn't have been mobilized. You know, you mentioned earlier, we had a million homes. That was just in the U.S. We had 115 million people worldwide watch the broadcast, and over 110,000 people last year respond to the gospel.
Beautiful and absolutely amazing. Born out of a very personal experience that you just shared with us. You know, you mentioned something earlier about the God who suffers with us, the God who knows our suffering. Can you just speak into that? As Good Friday, of course, you don't have Easter, you don't have the resurrection without Good Friday. How has that shaped your approach as you're presenting the gospel message afresh to this generation that God can identify with our hardships and our sufferings? I'd love to hear your thoughts on that.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I just think Good Friday, man, it's what separates Christianity from every other religion. Like the fact that God enters in, the fact that God, like every other religion says you have to do all of these things. I mean, even Christianity, when it becomes religion, says try harder, do more, perform for God, get to church, look the part, say amen, hallelujah, whatever. Say your Hail Marys, you know, whatever, right? It's just, I just think, but Jesus, I mean, he turned the tables, right? He changed the game in that he is the one. Hebrews says we do not have a high priest who's not able to sympathize, but we serve one who has gone to the holy place, one who suffered for us. I mean, Jesus wept. He was bruised. He was abandoned. He was betrayed, right? And then he died a horrific death. I mean, that changes everything when you come to realize that God knows, that he understands, that he sees you, right? That he gets you and that he loves you in the midst of what you're going through, and he doesn't leave you there, but he enters in, that the timeline of humanity changed when heaven touched earth 2,000 years ago, and that without the cross, there is no reason to celebrate, you know, but without the resurrection, the cross is just a tombstone, right? That's just a memorial to the dead guy. But
that's,
man,
right,
we don't serve a dead and buried savior. Man, we serve and follow a God who conquers death. He enters into our suffering, and then he alleviates it once and for all when he rose. And so that's the power that we can plug into. But, man, there is no power without the suffering. And that's true in our lives as believers. Like, we have to be willing. And remember, the cross confronts us in our for safety, in our desire to be politically correct. It confronts us because this is not a safe religion. This is not a safe faith. This is a mission, and heaven is our home.
That's right. And it's so encouraging to hear you declare it boldly and with clarity, as you are certainly aware that our culture seems to be pushing us towards a more and more of a convenience type mindset and a me first mindset. And the cross calls us back to make first things first. And of course, this broadcast tomorrow evening is going to be highlighting this and this story of Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection. Now, as far as Pulse goes and your ministry, you all were really leading and adapting to all the changes that were related to the pandemic. And of course, no ministry was really left untouched. What are your thoughts and how would you advise other ministry leaders as they're going forward and they're rebuilding slowly and trying to get back to what we all knew as normal?
Yeah, I just think if you're trying to survive, you've already lost the battle. I think self-preservation is not the secret sauce of the Christian life or of leading a ministry. I think that now is the time to be doubling down. Now is the time to be making sure that our message is clear. Now is the time to be making sure that, like, and am I reaching people? Are we preaching the gospel? Or have we just been playing to the crowd? And I just think that, man, there is a refining. This is an age of reckoning. And whether it's the devil that's doing it, or if we believe in the sovereignty of God, we know that he can't do anything, you know, that God doesn't allow him to do in some way. It's not his will, but we have a God who's bigger. And so I just believe that there's a refining happening, and the refining for me is going to sharpen us. And so either I'm leaning into that sharpening and I'm leaning into the change and I'm asking the hard questions of saying, man, am I really meeting people? Am I really reaching people? Is this really faith-based? Is my life faith-based? You know, ministries, churches, we say we're faith-based, but all too often I find that we're more plan-based than we are faith-based. We're more budget-based than we are faith-based. We're more bank account-based or donor-based or whatever, health-based. And I just think the Christian life is called to be a life. The Bible says, right, the righteous will live by faith. And faith means that you're not going to be comfortable, right? Because if you're comfortable, you don't need faith. You need faith when you're at a place where only God can do this. And so I just think every time we have these kind of hardships, you know, you saw this during the economic downturn when the housing market collapsed. I just had so many ministries that were scaling back. And I just believe these are the moments when, man, sure, scale back excess, but ramp up the gospel. Like, we have to be, if we are scaling back when people are more open, then we are not following Jesus. And so I just think, man, now is the time. I mean, last year during this whole thing, we didn't know if we were going to make it. We had to do mass cuts. You know, we weren't sure where the money was going to come from. We didn't know, but it was just like, man, we're evangelistic. Like, how dare we sit back when people are dying and hurting and afraid and isolated? And, you know, plans change, but the Holy Spirit is moving and leading and guiding. And, and I just think for those that can ride the wave, this is, I believe, the most exciting moment in the history of the church. I don't think there has ever been a moment where the world has been united like this in suffering and hardship. People are asking the same big questions, and the gospel is the answer. And so, man, I just think for those that can catch the vision, now is the time. And so our team is really trying to say, man, how are we reaching people? How are we reaching people? How are we calling Christians to share the gospel? Because really believe, now is the time. Jesus is coming soon.
Right. It's wonderful to hear it because, yeah, with budgets and pressures and obligations, everything can mount up. And I'm hearing a clear call that you're saying, listen, this is the time to exercise those faith muscles. You know, let's believe God for that bigger impact. And I'm sure you're believing God for even a bigger impact this year for your global broadcast. Now, as far as the broadcast, the Good Friday broadcast is concerned, who is the intended audience? Are you creating content for this broadcast for Christians primarily? Is this for all faiths? What are you hoping the impact is going to be for people of different faiths or different persuasions?
Yeah, well, I just did an interview earlier today, and, you know, there are 200 million people searching online right now for the meaning of Easter. Right. Like there is an openness during the Easter season, which if you talk to even pastors, they'll tell you that. I mean, Christmas is also, you know, you always say Christmas and Easter, but Christmas, people are busy. You know, it's just a crazy time. You're competing with 50 holiday parties and family events and all the festivities. Easter, man, anybody who grew up religious, grew up with any church background, which is a lot of people on earth. So I would say that is the primary audience of this broadcast, are spiritually inclined, curious, open people. We're really trying to mobilize the global church to share, to post, to have conversations. You know, I'm sharing this with my neighbors, right? I'm sharing this with my father-in-law who needs Jesus. And they're going to watch, right? Because it's Easter weekend and they're open and I'm their friend and they care and, you know, they don't know the Lord, but man, it's going to be a conversation starter prompting. We're also doing, secular television buys in different parts of the world. I mean, in India, for instance, this is one of two weekends in the year that you can publicly share the gospel on mainstream channels. And so much of the nation there is still on lockdown. And so people are stuck in their homes. And it'd be like the equivalent of putting the gospel on NBC, you know, right after The Voice. And so we're just trying to get the gospel out anywhere and everywhere we can. And we really have two goals. One is to see the lost come to Jesus. And two is we really believe in our vision is that Good Friday, not just the broadcast, but that this day would become a global rallying cry back to evangelism. Because I just think in the Christian faith, right, we have the baby at Christmas, and then we have, you know, the bunny at Easter. And I know we don't celebrate a bunny, but they're both kind of fluffy holidays where we get all dolled up and look cute for family pics. And then you have a cross, you know. And again, I just think we have to be confronted. We got to come back to this Romans 1:16. I'm not ashamed of the gospel. It's the power of God. We need a little bit more, politically incorrect. I'm going to share something that you need to hear because you're going to die without this.
That's right.
And I've seen a lot of Christians who are pretty bold with their political views and are silent about things that really are going to matter for eternity. And so, man, I think we need to check ourselves and we need to repent for, man, being loud about things that are secondary and being silent about things that are primary. And now is the time, and I really think Good Friday can be a rallying cry for all of us, just to share the gospel, to be bold, and, you know, to be filled with the Holy Spirit. As it says in Acts 1, when Jesus said, you will receive power, and we need that power today.
Beautiful. We couldn't agree anymore. Of course, we've been interviewing Nick Hall and speaking about his Good Friday worldwide broadcast that's going to be happening tomorrow night. Good Friday, April 2nd at 7 p.m. Nick will be joined by influential Bible teachers Francis Chan and Ebony Small. Worship will be led by Grammy Award winners for King and Country, Tasha Cobbs Leonard, and Michael W. Smith. Nick, before we end our time together, I'd love for you just to pray over our listeners and that the same faith and zeal that you have for the gospel would touch our audience again. Would you mind closing us with prayer?
Yeah, let's do it. Heavenly Father, we just come before you. We thank you, God, that you're on the throne. Thank you that you're not intimidated. Thank you that you're not afraid. We pray that you would download into our hearts right now a spirit of power that you promised on the day of Pentecost would come. Lord, we need it today. We need your Holy Spirit. We need boldness. We need courage. God, use us to reach our friends. Use us to love our neighbors. Use us to preach the gospel. Lord, help us to not be silent any longer. Lord, we pray for our loved ones. We pray for our family members. God, we pray for our coworkers, and we invite you to use us. God, I pray that people who are listening to this right now, God, would share the link to this broadcast. And I pray that it would prompt spiritual conversations, God, conversations about you, conversations about eternity. God, may we not wait until it's too late. God, we're not promised tomorrow. So Lord, help us to talk about what matters today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. And again, you can participate in the broadcast by going to goodfriday.com or check out the Pulse Ministry Facebook and YouTube pages. We hope you join in and be a part of the global broadcast with Nick Hall. Nick, thank you so much for being on the show today.
Hey, really appreciate this, man. So thankful for you guys. Love Charisma and just love getting to link arms all over the world to just make much of Jesus.
Amen. It's all about him, and we're happy to partner with you. God bless you, and God bless the broadcast.
This has been a production of the Charisma Podcast Network. Steve and Joy Strang are the founders and owners of CPN. Dr. Steve Green is the executive producer of the Charisma Podcast Network. We intend to honor God with every podcast and remain thankful to our advertisers and supporters who make these podcasts possible.